Chapter 12. Blood Brothers. Polyxis, Castor. The brothers from Ajax fought as one. The black and the white, retribution and salvation, avatars of their respective purposes, united in the purging of mankind's enemies. Polyxis battled on with a fury he had never known before. It was not the same anger that had gripped him when he had fought in Shabbat's ruins for the body of Brother Lawrence, or in the redoubts on Ridge One. Then a part of him had still been detached, distant, analytical. That part was gone now. He killed the Xenos with Justicia in one fist and his Gladius in the other, twin-bladed death, sawing through everything that came at him. His muscles burned with the exultant release as he parried a hit with one weapon and gutted the Xenos with the other. Turned the motion into a beheading stroke with a power sword before letting the backhand swing bring his Gladius up to block a buzzing chainblade. The teeth locked against the vibro-steel and left its wielder open to an impaling strike. Polyxis recovered his guard, plunging his power sword through thick skin and ribs, and jarring it off the alien's spine. He ripped the weapon free, relishing the destructive energies of its ancient disruptor field as it pulverized flesh and bone. Castor killed with no less brutality than his brother, but he did so without the mindless, furious hatred that powered each of the apothecary's blows. Though the chaplain's fire burned as brightly as ever, within was a measure of peace he had never before known in the white heat of combat. The melee was too vicious and too desperate to ponder it, but there were two things that Castor knew with complete surety. He was back alongside his brother, and regardless of what happened now, he would not leave him again.
"It's like Elipax all over again!"
the chaplain exclaimed as he slammed Salve Imperator down through an alien skull, pulping it into the cracked flagstones underfoot.
"You remember our third ever assignment together?"
"In Sergeant Scaro's squad," Polyxis asked.
"See? You do recall some things, Helix."
Polyxis grunted as he caught the downward swing of a cleaver and locked it between both his blades, before severing it entirely with Justicia.
"That was after our induction, you fool,"
he snarled, in no mood for his brother's amusement.
"Still, it was a glorious purging, was it not? Do you remember how we butchered our way through that Hrod's nest above the starport? I remember you pushing too far ahead, as ever, and the rest of us having to drag you out,"
Polyxis said, parrying an axe haft with his power sword and thumping his Gladius home through the alien's stomach.
"As usual."
Castor didn't respond, but he was smiling. The brothers killed and killed, Polyxis venting his pain and Castor his relief, their lightning-clad weapons combining to create an elemental force of destruction that eviscerated and crushed everything that came for them. Both knew the chances of survival were slender. Neither cared anymore. Ajax was united, and they would stay that way, in life or in death. Hanlon. Second platoon pressed forwards. Corrin was down, so Corporal Cern had taken charge of what was left of his squad. The rest of the company were on the flanks of Hanlon's platoon, leapfrogging from one position to the next amidst the desolation of Shabbat's eastern outskirts, las rifles and autoguns cracking and snapping.
"Incline right!"
Hanlon barked into her comlink, cursing as a spray of hard rounds battered at the broken remnants of the wall she was crouched behind. An orc war track was bedded down in a shallow shell crater just to the northeast, its guns threatening to stall the platoon's advance.
"Verrick, hit it!"
Hanlon demanded as dust from the crumbling wall burst around her. A second later, there was the whoosh of a missile launcher, followed by the echoing report of a detonation. The hard-round impact stopped, and Hanlon risked a glance over the ruins to see that a crack rocket had reduced the orc machine to a wreck, belching black flames.
"Forward!"
she shouted, rising once more and vaulting the riddled wall. To her left and right, her squads pressed on, the recon team at her back. It was almost impossible to tell what was going on beyond the sphere of her own platoon. The jagged mounds of rubble and the tumbled-down remains of the shacks that had once constituted the city's slums obscured visibility, aided by the smoke and dust being kicked up by the battle. It seemed the battalion was on the attack, and she could hear the grumbling engines and teeth-chattering discharges of the Zhuishen tanks coming somewhere off to the right. Beyond that, Hanlon felt as though she were operating alone. The fog of war had descended, riven with screams and explosions, and all they could do was what they always did, press forwards.
"More contacts front!"
Sergeant Tan shouted from Hanlon's left. She'd already heard the howls. The debris directly ahead dropped into a shallow slope, and the dead ground held more Xenos. She was afforded a view of the city's edge as she mounted the brief rise, not just the mob rushing her, but also the desolate sprawl ahead, and distantly the spires of the Basilica of St. Albarak, the smelter, standing lonely in the wilderness that had once been an industrial heartland.
"Open fire! Open fire!"
The Numerians poured Laz and hard rounds down onto the onrushing orcs. Hanlon knelt in the dirt and loosed a trio of shots, trying to ignore the return fire whipping the air around her, trying to ignore the churning fear in her stomach and the adrenaline thundering through her system, trying to ignore everything except her shooting drills. In that moment, with life and death reduced to her iron sights and the thump of recoil into her shoulder plate, it was easy to lose herself. Her target went down, upper torso and throat lacerated. Another filled its place, bounding up the slope like an enraged simian. They were huge, and their tough hide soaked up bullets and lasbolts alike. They weren't going to stop them.
"Bayonets!"
Hanlon shouted, sliding her blade free.
"Hold your ground!"
She lunged down with her rifle into the first orc to mount the rise in front of her, just as Vaughn did likewise from her right. The two bayonets impaled the alien through the torso, punching through its stinking leather armor. But still it came on, running itself through and forcing both soldiers to dig their heels in and brace themselves. Finally, they were able to bring it down onto its knees, and Vaughn finished it with a burst of shots directly into its gut. Hanlon planted her boot on its shoulder and twisted her bayonet free, snarling.
"There's too many!"
Vaughn shouted over the thunder of gunfire and alien roars. He was right. Another mob was scrambling to engage, more pouring eastwards from the city's ruins. They needed support, armor, artillery, anything. Before she could shout a reply, she heard a sharp zipping sound, followed by a crunch, and felt something warm and wet splatter her face. She half turned in time to catch Vaughn as he toppled backwards, his face hideously torn, skull burst open by a slug round.
"Damn it!"
Hanlon shouted, caught for a second between holding up the twitching corpse and reloading, more of Vaughn's blood drenching her. Another round hit a piece of masonry at her feet and ricocheted up between her legs, twitching her fatigues with a near miss.
"Stand firm!"
she shouted, letting go of Vaughn and reaching for a fresh magazine. To her left, she could see Krevin grappling with another greenskin, the big alien wrestling him to the dirt and choking the life from him. Markle was already dead, laid out by an orc cudgel, sniper rifle broken. She couldn't even see the rest of her recon team, let alone the rest of the platoon.
"Throne take you!"
she screamed, and again opened fire into the beasts rushing her. Another one fell, a primed stick grenade tumbling from its fingers, bouncing a few feet down the slope.
"Grenade!"
Hanlon managed to shout, before the blast engulfed her. Her ears burst, and she felt herself being lifted, battered by a hail of dirt and debris. The impact with the ground drove the air from her lungs and caused stars to burst across her vision. She tried to move, to breathe, smoke and wreckage engulfing her. Throne damn who had ever ordered this assault. Throne damn them all. She managed to bring herself up into a sitting position, gasping for breath, just in time for something to slam into her chest and throw her back down. It was a boot, its wicked studs grating against her flak plate, and as she struggled to prise it off, she found herself looking up at a greenskin, the beast keeping her pinned effortlessly. Hanlon tried to reach for her rifle, but she had no idea where it had fallen. The orc raised its boot, and she just had time to spit at it before it came slamming down into her face. Pain exploded, and darkness overtook her. Grimtooth. Grimtooth managed to prise himself from the press long enough to reach the edge of the basilica's nave. The whole building was in turmoil. Not only had the Beakies burst up from the tombs, their flashbangs and howls zogging up the lads around them, but it seemed more of them were coming down from the skies outside. It had been a trap all along, and Grimtooth had been the only one to sniff it out.
"Zogging Beaky Gits!"
Grimtooth growled. The white Beaky had broken free, and now a black one had joined him beside the big boss's throne, smashing up every git that went for them. The big boss himself was trying to reach them, driven mad with rage, but Grimtooth knew better than to join the hundreds of lads trying to mob those gits from the front. Contrary to the thinking of most boys, a big knife in the back was always the best option. The commando Nob had worked his way out to the walls, where the pressure of surging greenskin bodies was lessened. The Humies were holding the narrow space of the apse, so Grimtooth was going to go around, get behind them, and finish the madness before it got any madder. He turned a corner into the narrow stone channel that ran in a semicircle behind the apse partition. Just as he did, something smacked into the flagstones at his boots, splattering his legs and feet with blood. It was the severed head of one of Gobbins's boys, tongue lolling out, eyes wide. Grimtooth glanced up and found himself looking into the grinning face of death. Other Beakies were still back behind the apse, holding the stairwells going down into the crypts. They had skull masks on, and their form-fitting blue armour was smeared and dripping with the remains of dozens of boys and squigs.
"I am your death, Xenos," the Beaky said.
"Come get some then, ya git!"
Grimtooth spat back. The death face in front of Grimtooth raised the long stabber it carried, blood running from its blade, and let out a howl. The orc didn't cringe back from the Humie's amplified fury. Instead, he let loose a bellow of his own and lunged, axe hurtling for the Beaky's grinning bone mask. With a crash, the knife met the axe's haft. Severus. Severus put his weight behind his knife, trying to saw it through the handle of the cape-clad orc's axe. This one was bigger than the others, a leader beast with the equipment to match. Its instinctive reaction to Severus's vox roar hadn't been to flinch away in the same manner that its lesserkin had, but to throw itself at him. That nearly caught the reaver off guard. He parried the thing's first strike, but it recovered quickly, slamming a fist into Severus's right pauldron and attempting to drag him off balance. He spun his knife point down and tried to punch it into the greenskin's guts, but it flung itself up hard against him, getting in his face, its ugly alien stink and the sweating pressure of its grimy green skin invading the reaver's poised stance before he could strike. He was forced to give ground, and still it kept coming on, another blow from its axe jarring from the ultramarine's blade. There were more orcs with it, trying to work their way round behind him. He could still hear Strix and Phobos fighting, their vox-amplified bellowing interspersed with grunts and the butcher's sounds of metal on meat. They couldn't support him, though. There was too many of the Xenos. Castor had gone, breaking through to the apse and his brother. They were running out of time. The orc grappled with Severus, his knife locked beneath the axe's head, their free hands both grasping at torsos as each sought the purchase that would allow them to angle a killing blow. The orc snapped its tusks at him and snarled something indecipherable in its savage tongue, its eyes wild with alien battle lust. There was a little click, barely audible over the orc's grunts and the rasping of Severus's own breath. Both the Primaris and the Greenskin glanced down and realized the arming pin from one of the crude stick grenades strapped to the orc's front had been yanked loose in the tussle. Their eyes met, and Severus experienced the closest thing he ever could to a moment's understanding with an alien beast. He flung himself backwards, just as the thunderclap of the detonation engulfed him. Castor. It seemed as though Castor and Polixis would live. From beyond the walls of the basilica, the thunder of the Fulminata's assault was audible.
"We are inbound, my brethren," Tyrannus's voice clicked over the voxnet. "Hold firm, for Gilliman and the Emperor."
Castor felt his spirit soar further, and his tired body blazed with fresh vigor as he struck down one greenskin after another. The Emperor did not abandon the righteous, and he swore in that moment that he would honor the reprieve he and his brother had been granted many times over. Then Extremis hit. The mighty repulsor Gravtank had been defiled and cannibalized, its noble machine spirit tortured as cruelly as Polixis had been. Now some insane greenskin creatures had managed to get one of the tank's engines up and running again. The hulking vehicle lurched forwards, only its right side raised up by the gravitic motor blocks, its left flank shrieking and kicking up a shower of sparks as it was dragged across the basilica's floor. Orcs who were too slow to get out of the way were crushed or pulverized. It rammed into the wall along the rear of the apse, sending masonry tumbling. The whole building shook. Castor was closest to the repulsor's impact. He tried to step away from the wall at his back as the stonework started to give, but an orc knob used the opportunity to fling itself against him, slamming him back into the bricks. Its defiance didn't last long. The collapse crushed its skull and broke its back. The impact caused Custer to stumble, then fall, Salve Imperator slipping from his grip. He looked up and realized that the wall's demise had split them apart. Polixis had managed to avoid the worst of the debris, but he had been forced left, and the greenskins were on him again before he could rejoin his brother. Castor let out a bellow and heaved the rubble off himself, power armor grating. He snatched up Salve Imperator and smashed its inactive head into the first orc to come at him from out of the dust shroud that had blanketed the apse. The second beast that emerged was Urgork. The orc warlord roared, the primal savage noise of his race's might reverberating around the defiled space. Its skinning blades were out, and they came for Castor in a hail of blows, driven with a brute force even his Mark X armor couldn't withstand. One carved through his left pauldron, splitting its heraldry and hitting bone, while another overhead swing bit into the top of his backpack, causing him to stumble. He recovered with a snarl, his own rage reigniting. This was the monstrosity that had tried to tear his brother apart, the beast of patchwork, discolored flesh and swollen muscle that sought dominion over mankind's realm. The chaplain rammed Salve Imperator forwards, smashing it against the beast's chest, hearing ribs crack. Urgork showed no sign of having even registered the blow. He came on, his small, mismatched eyes wide with a maniacal frenzy, foam bubbling from between his thick tusks.
"I will break you, Xenos!" Castor snarled as he met it. "For what you did to my brother, I will destroy you utterly!"
"Salve!"
he heard Polixis shout from his left, but he had time only to glance in his direction. The apothecary was beset by more orcs, the hulking brutes of Urgork's bodyguard. Gladius lodged into one knob's throat and discarded, Justicia wielded now in both hands.
"Your unholy existence is at an end!"
Castor shouted as he turned back to Urgork, slamming Salve Imperator down once more. The Crozius Arcanum's disruptor field wouldn't reignite, but the chaplain wielded it nonetheless, limbs burning with the destructive energies of a Genhanced Primaris, as he rained blows on the towering greenskin. Urgork simply soaked them up, the crunch of muscle and tendon seemingly neither inhibiting nor discomforting him. When the orc struck back, it did so with a force not even Castor could match. The skinning blades thumped through ceramite, shattering the stylized ribcage encasing the chaplain's breastplate and scoring a wicked groove down the left temple of his helmet. It laid open his right thigh and sent blood pattering down onto black ceramite. Still, the ultramarine fought, his wounds nothing more than a dull ache, his body immune to the stunning impacts that rang from his helmet. The two giants stood and traded blows, almost too fast to follow, neither taking a backward step. Castor's fury only mounted as his armor registered more damage and his body bled.
"I will smash your unholy form apart, beast,"
the chaplain growled, taking another hit to his pauldron,
"and immolate your foul remains."
One of them had to fall. Castor heard his brother's cry once more, and stole a glance long enough to see him being borne to the floor by two knobs, Justicia impaled through the torso of one of them.
"Helix!"
Castor bellowed, but the moment's distraction was enough for Urgork. One of the orc's blades cracked into Salve Imperator's haft, and Acrosius was sent spinning away, clattering against the rubble at the chaplain's feet. Castor barely had time to right himself before the warlord surged forwards with a roar, slamming his scarred head directly into the skull helm. There was a hideous crunch, and half of Castor's visor display blinked offline, the left lens crushed. The jarring impact forced him back a single step, and he found himself tripping amidst the rubble, his battered armor unable to fully support him any more. He fell, trying to roll with the impact, reaching for the Crozius, but Urgork's iron-shod boot struck him the moment he landed, slamming him back against the broken remnants of the apse with a horrid crunch.
"Too late, little black beaky!"
the warlord snarled, spittle and dark blood pattering down onto the chaplain.
"Your mate is mine now, see?"
Castor managed to turn his head. Polixis had been dragged down like his brother. The apothecary bellowed with desperate fury as he slammed the drill of his activated narthesium into the skull of one knob, Justicia and his gladius already impaled in the other two. He was still fighting, still howling with a blood fury Castor had never seen in him, but any chance for finesse was gone in the crushing press of bodies.
"You won't take him!" he snarled up at Urgork. "Death is coming for you, beast! Can't you hear it? Be long gone by the time they is here!"
the monster snapped back.
"Maybe they can put your bits back together after I've chopped them up!"
The orc struck. Castor brought his arms up in a protective cross, just in time to stop the blow caving in his skull. He grunted as the metal cut through his vambrace, severing sinew coils and biting to the bone. The hits kept coming. Urgork's frenzy insatiable, until blood was pouring from Castor's elbows and his forearms were a mess of bloody ruin and hacked ceramite. He tried to push himself back up, to find the half-second to unleash his fury once again. But Urgork was relentless, his animalistic strength unfaltering. And then, suddenly the beast stopped. For a second, Castor thought the orc was trying to trick him into lowering his guard. Then he realized that, trick or not, this was his last chance. Teeth gritted, he dropped his arms. Urgork stood over him, transfixed. The madness had gone from his eyes, replaced by a glazed, unblinking expression. His maw began to foam, and his whole body became rigid. Slowly, the warlord started to shake. The spasm started as a tick in his left eye that spread rapidly until his whole form was shuddering. A low, unnatural whining sound erupted from his throat, and his jaw locked, the froth now overspilling and pattering down on Castor. The chaplain regained his feet, taking a step back in the rubble as he tried to decide whether to make a move for Salve Imperator and whether his brutalized arms were still capable of lifting the blessed weapon. Urgorg's eyes refocused, but now, instead of hate-fueled madness, they were filled with emotions Castor had rarely seen in a greenskin before. Fear. Pain. Understanding. Urgork tried to cast about, gaze roving as though he were seeking someone or something. Whatever it was, there was no sign of it. The rigidity in his body snapped, and he went down abruptly onto both knees, the whining noise replaced by a violent hacking cough that quickly became retching and then full-fledged choking. Castor moved further back as whatever seizure was gripping the warlord worsened, the orc's whole body spasming. He was sick, a thick, noxious, stinking stream of yellow bile splattering across the splintered flagstones and rubble at Castor's feet. The vile-looking liquid darkened as blood discolored it, followed by chunks of what looked like liquefied organs. The orc warlord managed to draw enough of a breath to spit out a word, blood and bile now pouring from his nose as well as his mouth. Then, With a last shuddering exhalation of gory vomit, he collapsed forwards and was still. Silence gripped the basilica, but then the howls of the orcs around Castor and his brother redoubled. Many were staring at the body of their warlord, slumped unceremoniously in a spreading pool of its own effluvium. Others cast looks back towards the basilica's main doors, where the searing light of plasma was now visible, accompanied by the click-boom of bolt rifles on full auto. Some of the aliens abruptly turned on those around them, fists flying, as the larger greenskins realized that the command of the entire war was on offer to the strongest. Castor snatched up Salve Imperata with the one hand that was still responding, his genhancements failing to fully block the agony of his torn and broken limbs. He smashed the mace against the head of the last knob still pinning Polixis to the ground, sending a sudden splatter of cranial matter across the apothecary's battered armor. Polixis kicked the twitching corpse off him and rose once more to his feet, his gladius back in one fist. Back to back, Castor and Polixis stood their ground and surveyed the carnage around them, then each other.
"Good of you to join me, little brother," Polixis said.
Castor smiled.
"I couldn't let you have all the glory, Helix. What would the rest of the chapter say of the Fulminata if our apothecary finished a campaign with the highest kill tally of all of us?"
The fight had gone out of the orcs. Those not locked in their sudden struggle for supremacy with one another were panicking, realizing that more humans were storming the front of the basilica. They turned on one another in the sudden rush to escape, the Space Marines still at the back of the apse, completely forgotten. Polixis turned and looked down at his brother's forearms, at the bent and broken black ceramite, and the blood that still oozed from between the rent metal.
"What is your armor reading?" he asked. "Left arm is shattered," Castor admitted, glancing at the remaining autosense readouts on his damaged visor display. "I can still use the right."
Polixis didn't respond, and the chaplain looked at him. He sensed the sudden tension in his brother's stance, and saw his grey eyes widen as they focused on something behind Castor.
"Move!"
the apothecary shouted, thrusting his brother to one side. A green limb slammed through the suddenly empty space, cracking its fist against Polixis's breastplate and shattering one of the empty reserve cryovials hanging from around his neck. Castor spun, and found himself confronted once more by Urgork. The foul monster had resurrected, blood and bile pouring from its eyes, ears, nose, and mouth.
"Impossible," the chaplain breathed.
A keening noise escaped from the warlord's slack jaw as his whole body shook violently. He reached towards the two space marines with claws that clenched and unclenched with bone-crushing force.
"Back!"
Castor shouted as the huge orc lunged for him. Polixis, however, wasn't going back. He thrust past his brother, driving him to one side, knocking him from the path of Urgork's fist. Polixis, the older brother, Polixis the protector, Polixis, who would rather charge a starved crophound than abandon his sibling, even for a moment. Castor cried out in anger and horror, even as he stumbled. It had all been for nothing. He had failed. But Urgork's blow never fell. Silver steel flashed, and the orc's head flew from its shoulders, the hideous noise he had been making cut short by a jet of black blood and yellowing fluids. He crunched to his knees, and then finally slumped onto his side at the feet of the remains of Squad Tyro and Captain Demeter, his head bouncing away down the apse. The decapitated body twitched one more time, then was still. Behind it stood Severus. The Reaver was almost unrecognizable. Much of his bare head was raw or blackened by burns. Blood stained the white grin of his skull mask, and his larger left pauldron had been ripped away to reveal a shoulder that was little more than a mess of muscle and cartilage. Castor realized that the Reaver's left arm now ended at the elbow. In his remaining fist, he carried a combat knife that dripped with Urgork's blood.
"All objectives achieved," the Reaver said, voice tight with pain.
He stayed on his feet a moment longer, then collapsed. Cog Crusher. The Basilica of St. Albarak the Smelter resounded with the howls of dying greenskins. The Humies were long gone, evacuated on their flyers to where the battle in the slums still rumbled on. Greenskins had flooded in from all over the city, at first to crump the Beakies, and then, when they realized they'd slipped away, to contend for the new position of Big Boss. Cog Crusher had seen it all before. When a war boss went down, chaos ensued. It was just the way of things. Eventually a new leader would emerge, usually bigger and stronger than the one before, and the clans and mobs would rally to him. Until then, though, there was nothing but disunity. Orcs fought, grots cowered, and the squigs feasted on those not strong enough to survive the new status quo. The big mech knew better than to stick around through it all. He'd managed to get the big floaty tank fired up at least. Both sides were working now, and the grots on the shooters he'd welded to the sides had specific orders to gun down any git that got too close to the technological wonder. A few minutes more, and they'd be out of the basilica and laying low until a new boss came forward, deserving Cog Crusher's services. That, or Cog Crusher would make a boss for himself. He found Grok crouched behind the ruins of Urgork's throne, the war boss's body lying trampled and forgotten nearby, while his former knobs beat the snot out of each other over the defiled altar. Cog Crusher approached as fast as his clanking body would permit, careful not to make eye contact with anyone. The pain boy looked up as the mech loomed over him, blinking his one remaining eye, his face a hideous melted morass of acid-eaten flesh.
Cog,
he slurred. Cog Crusher looked down at the thing the pathetic little runt was cradling. It was Urgork's severed head, eyes glassy, tongue hanging out, the blood from the ex-war boss's orifices slowly congealing.
"You's coming with me,"
Cog Crusher rasped, a metallic claw snagging the disfigured pain boy before he could run.
"And you's bringing the head with you."